Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. On this Transfiguration Sunday, we welcome a guest teacher, Megan Close. Her message describes this Sunday as the transition in the Christian calendar from Jesus' ministry to his journey to the cross to pay for our sins. God is telling us to stop and take notice of his Son and his message. Let us now join Miss Close as she explains God's word.
Please be seated. And now we come to the point in our service in which we bring ourselves, our whole selves, to God. In trust, let us call upon God's holy name, confess our sin, and receive forgiveness. Please join me in the prayer of confession printed in the order of worship. Merciful and gracious God, we bow before your unending compassion, the measure of our falling short. We have not loved as you command. We have not spoken truly.
We have not cared for creation,
including ourselves, according to your will. What we intend, we have not pursued. What we have meant to avoid, we embrace. Help us to know the mind of Christ, that in all thoughts, words, and deeds, our minds might become to honor you. Amen. Friends, who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, who lived for us, died for us, and reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen.
We will start by doing the prayer for illumination. By your Spirit, O God, enlighten our hearts, open our minds, fill us with your radiance, and give us life as we hear your word today. Amen. The second reading will be Luke 9, 28 through 36, which can be found on page 69 of the New Testament. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Not knowing what he had said, while he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things that they had seen. This is the word of God.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today is Transfiguration Sunday, and as the youth pointed out, it is the last Sunday before Lent. It's called Transfiguration Sunday because it's a hinge in our church calendar. We go from being Christmas people to being a pre-Easter people, a pre Palm Sunday people, a pre-Good Friday people. The last time I was here was the week after Christmas, and we talked about being a Christmas people and the work of Christmas. Once the shepherds had heard the good news of Christ's birth and saw the baby with their own eyes, they returned to their flocks, but they returned as people who knew that Emmanuel, God with us, was here. And likewise, we as Christians and Christmas people returned to life as usual after the holidays, but we did so as a people who had been reminded of God's great love that showed itself in the form of the baby Jesus. Because Jesus lived among us as one of us, we came to know God in a new way, a loving God who is not only transcendent, but is also immanent. A loving God who is not only above us and incomprehensible and different from us, but a God who is also near us and like us. A God who can understand us in our humanity because Jesus was fully God and fully human. Jesus was a man who was the model of faith and relationship with God. He was baptized. He prayed. Jesus honored the wide principle of God's love, not the narrow interpretation of the law. He hung around with deeply flawed people, people much like us, only usually a lot poorer. He healed people with problems and preached wisely. He challenged the establishment. Jesus seems to be a lot like Superman, fearless and invincible. We want to hang in his crew. And then there's this story about him going to the top of a mountain and glowing. So anybody have a problem with this story? I used to hate it, especially when I was in my tentative Christian days. I could stand behind the social justice Jesus who was nice to all the outcasts. He was my ideal college boyfriend. I could even stand behind the miracle worker Jesus because while miracles were a little difficult for me to believe, I saw their point. Miracles have a use. And I want miracles to be possible. And then, for no apparent reason, we get this crazy story about Jesus hanging out with Moses and Elijah, glowing. Really? How am I supposed to defend that at the lunch table? Do we really have to leave this in? Well, the account of Jesus' transfiguration appears in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John also alludes to it, so apparently it's pretty important. We can't leave it out. So let's look at it. The church calls it the transfiguration, but Scripture doesn't actually say transfiguration. Luke simply describes what happened. The appearance of Jesus' face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Weird. Then, suddenly, Moses and Elijah appear. Peter, John, and James can all see them. The three of them, Jesus and two, what? Ghosts? Spirits? Heavenly incarnations? They're all just standing around chatting. This is also weird. So let's imagine it. Close your eyes, if that helps. Imagine yourself with Peter, John, and James. You're all friendly. You like to mess around a little. But you're also really serious about your friend Jesus. You might not get as goofy with Jesus as you are with each other, because he can get really serious sometimes. Why, just a few days ago, Jesus said, "The Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." He also told you all, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it." And then today he asks you to go for a walk with him to the top of the mountain. Now, not everybody gets to go to the top of the mountain with Jesus. So maybe you're feeling a little smug, or maybe you're feeling a little cranky, and you all are really, really tired. But you manage not to sleep, and what you see startles you awake. Jesus' face and clothes become so bright, they dazzle you. Are you dreaming after all? But then you see two other men with him, and you recognize them. It's Moses, the prophet, and the prophet Elijah. Moses, who led your people out of slavery in Egypt to the promised land. And Elijah, who is prophesied to appear just before the end of time, signaling the appearance of the Messiah. And this is real. You can hear them talking. You look at Peter, John, and James. They see them too. So what do you feel? What do you do? Do you say, "I'll build you three huts so y'all can stay here together"? You can open your eyes now. What do you think? What would you have done? Well, right after Peter says, "Let's build three dwellings," a voice comes booming from heaven. "This is my Son, the Chosen. Listen to him." Does this remind you of anything? Jesus' baptism. You probably heard the account of it a few weeks ago. Luke 3:21 verses 21 and 22 says, "Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased.'" People saw the heavens open and the Holy Spirit descend on Jesus. People heard a voice from heaven declaring that Jesus is God's Son. And then they went back to their lives as usual. In today's gospel, the Transfiguration gets our attention again in great, big, bold letters. God's voice out of the clouds is like a divine dope slap. "Hello, I said this is my Son. Listen to him. Do not build him a hut. Do not fall asleep. Do not pass go or collect $200. Do not go back to life as usual." So what is this passage do for us? It marks the end of Jesus' public ministry and the beginning of his journey toward Jerusalem and the cross. Do you remember what the scripture says Jesus, Elijah, and Moses talked about? They appeared in glory and were speaking of Jesus' departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Our translation says departure, but the original Greek says exodus. What do you associate with exodus? The exodus. The story of Jesus, the Hebrews' liberation from slavery in Egypt. God used Moses to lead the people away from their captors and oppressors and back to their promised land. They had to travel for a long time through a desolate landscape, stripped of self-sufficiency and comfort. But God was true to God's word. The chosen people were delivered to the land that God promised them. The Exodus was Israel's supreme story of God's salvation. And in Christianity, Christ's passion, death on the cross, and resurrection are the supreme story of God's salvation. As the Hebrews were liberated from slavery in Egypt, we were liberated from slavery to sin and death. I think perhaps it is so easy for us to return to our lives as usual after hearing the amazing stories of God living among us and dying for us, is because we know how it all comes out. As Christians, we are Easter people. We are people of the empty cross. We are people who, in our baptism, are made new creations, confident in God's love that surpasses our understanding. But our baptism is only begun when the water is poured on our heads and we are claimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We continue to grow in our baptism and perfection all our lives. We continue to be called to follow Christ, not just in the joy of God's love, but to the hard places. We are called to embrace outcasts, to speak truth to power, even when we are the people who hold the power. Ultimately, we are called to sacrifice ourselves to God's vision for us. As long as we breathe, we follow a cycle of easy times and difficult times. And each time we die with Christ, each time we remember, not just Easter morning, but Holy Week and Good Friday as well, we grow in Christ like a candle being dipped in wax again and again and again. So, on this Transfiguration Sunday, let us hear God's voice. This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him. And as we head into this week of Mardi Gras, let us also prepare our hearts for Ash Wednesday. Let us set our faces to Jerusalem and see what the journey holds for us this year. And now, to the one who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask for or imagine, to God be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Ms. Close, for an inspiring message. The congregation from Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
And now, my brothers and sisters in Christ, as you go out into this week, come down from the mountain with mountain-like faith. Walk on God's paths as bright and shining lights. Live in God's ways with faith, hope, and love. Go into the world, transformed and renewed. And may the love of God, the grace of Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all today and all the days of your lives. Amen.